the brunt of this shiur is to discuss a little bit the tip of the iceberg, as they say, the inyan of Yisachar and Zvulun. We began last time, but I'll chazer over to some extent what we said previously, the shita of Rav Haigon, and to what extent that affects any discussion of Yisachar and Zvulun, is discussed itself by a number of Sfarim, and I brought together many of the Makaris in one tshuva from the Abi Yoimer, from Chacham Avadya Yosef, Shlita. Now, we know, and he quotes the beautiful statement of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on the Pasuk Zeh Yitnu. So I was thinking that he begins his whole discussion, it's not brought down here except the Remiza. But the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is a very big arichus, and he has many different nekudos which are critical, and it would be kedai probably to learn the Or HaChaim inside, mila b'mila, and perhaps Blin Eder will do it sometime.
Where is it?
It's on Zeh Yitnu and Parshas Kisisa. You know that the Ribon Shalom showed him a matbeah shel eish, and he asked the question, are you showing him matbeah shel eish? It's much easier, show him the coin, give him the coin, put it in his hand, and that'll be it. What is the inyan of matbeah shel eish? And this is the question, of course, that many Sfarim ask. And there are many Sifrei Drush that have discussed it. One of the most beautiful pshatim is that everybody thinks that when you give away tzedakah, you lose, but the ani gains, and that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that you should lose. Fire, kiyodua, you can light a candle from another candle, you can make a fire from another fire, the other fire continues as before. The fact that you lit another candle does not in any way impact upon the candle that was there earlier, and it continues burning bright. That is the idea of the matbeah shel eish, that this matbeah of tzedakah is unlike any matbeah of mischar, where if you give it away, that's it's gone. You may get something else perhaps in exchange, but what it is gone. In any other activity, if you give the matbeah away, you've lost the matbeah. In tzedakah, in chesed, you always retain the matbeah. Not just the schar of the matbeah, aseb shivishvil shasher, the Rambam's law showing, ein shum dover ra o hezek niglal bishvil hatzdokah, shenema vahoya ma'ase hatzdokah shalom. Shum dover ra o hezek. There are people on occasion, by the way, who give massive amounts of money to tzedakah and then lose every penny that they have in various disappointments in business, in the markets, in real estate, whatever it is. And then people wonder, how you talking? What about aseb shirushvil shetis asher? And of course, the answer is the same answer that the Rambam's Lashon in the 11th Perek of Hilchus Malachim. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machshavos are not like our machshavos. He quotes the pasuk, "Kiloi machshavosai machshavoseichem, v'loi darcheichem drochoi." Who knows what the Eibishter's cheshbon was in such a case? It does not in any way affect the promise of v'hoya ma'isa hatzedakah shalom. Everybody knows the easiest explanation is that when people lose money and they are not meant to suffer, it's because it is a kapara for something which was much more severe. And everyone who has anyone who's normal understands that if you have to sacrifice something, the best thing to sacrifice is your mamonos, because anything else, begufoy ubenafshoy ubemishpachtoy, is infinitely more horrible. So we never know what the Eibishter's cheshbon is, and we have to have that confidence. That is what the pasuk says, "Va'atam maroim la'olam Hashem." And the medrash is brought down in Yalkut Shemayni, the medrash Tehillim, "La'olam yotcha alo alyona." La'olam yotcha alo alyona. That's the lashon of the medrash. Whether you give us a smack or whether you give us a kiss, you're always on top. It means our responsibility is always to touch that up, l'toiva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is managing the way he should manage. So whether we understand the derech or not, the Maisa, the Matbeah Shel Eish, teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a mitzvah which does not diminish you in any way. There is now the question, that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks, what is the inyan of Matbea Shalesh? This was one explanation. It's not his explanation. But he says a very interesting thing. He says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him a Mana Shel Hekdesh. A Mana Shel Hekdesh, the Gemara says, was double the value of a regular Mana. And it's interesting, the Ha'aris and the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, even in the Chumashim that we have, the Hamor, which has just a few Ha'aris, doesn't have a real full-blown Pirush on the Aruch Chaim, which there are a number, very wonderful Sfarim and Aruch Chaim. But in that Pirush, he points out that the Tosis that speaks about this is talking about the Mana, and he wants to connect it to the Shekel. Zayitnu kol ayvrab machtis ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. The Aruch Chaim seems to say that even the Shekel HaKodesh was twice the value of a regular Shekel. But Tosfos says that the Shkolim, Sai Shel Hekdesh and Sai Shel Chulim, were of the same value. It's just the Mana was of a different value. But in any case, that's a Ha'ara Kala. I don't know how the Aruch Chaim got around it, but the point of the Aruch Chaim is brought here by a number of Sfarim. What is his point? His point is that when you give the Machtzis HaShekel, since the value is twice as much, you're actually retaining your Machtzis HaShekel. This is the same concept that I mentioned, but from a different angle entirely. So now let's take a look inside and review the Shita of Rav Chai Goin. Rav Chai Goin was asked a Shaila that has nothing to do with Tzedakah and has nothing to do with Yisachar and Zvulun, the Etzem. Rav Chai Goin was asked a question, if you remember from last time, what if a person wants to donate the schar of a mitzvah to somebody else's bank account, Bashamayim? I want to give away my schar ha-mitzvah. So I told you the maisa with the yo-yo. The maisa with the yo-yo. So he wants to give away. Can a person give away his olam haba? Can a person give away his schar for a mitzvah? The kama v'kama maisim, you know, somebody wanted an esrig and a luluv, and he said, I can't give it to you unless you give me something, what? The schar of this mitzvah, olam haba, whatever it is. Can you do such a thing? So Hagam, that there are many stories which seem to imply that you can, but he says as follows. He says, She'ela, Hanoyeg lehisanoi sheni v'chamishi, v'chakach omar schar ta'aniyos elu yiyya l'ploini. The schar of these ta'aniyos should go to his friend Chaim Yankel. So the question is, Mahu, what happens now? V'heshiv, devarim elu divrei hevel heim. Rav Chai Goin was very, very strong here. He doesn't mince any words. He says it's not shayach and it's meaningless, and you're not a bailim over it, and you can't give away yischar. Dibre Hevelheim, she'eich yala alev loyma she'schara shalo oisik bator masin toivim yinosin loze. V'aloy nema tzidkas ha-tzadik olav tiyah v'rishas ha-rosh olav tiyah. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, I point out in the footnote here. U'keshem she'ein odom nitfas v'avon zulasoy, kach ein odom mezoiche b'schus zulasoy. So this point itself, someone might think to answer, it depends. If you do nothing, then of course, the tzaddik has his mitzvahs and the rosh has his averis, and the Ribbono Shel does not apply one to the other. But if you want bedafka to give away from your bank account, perhaps you can. But Rav Chai Goin compares the two and he says it's not shaykh. And then he continues, Hayach shay odom. What's he saying over here? That you're not a bailin. The fact that a person gets schar, it does not mean that he owns the schar, and that it's a commodity that he can give or exchange. So therefore he says it's not shaykh b'chlal. It's a very strong phrase, which is from a Gemara, and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis and Tainis, and I brought down the whole Shtikl Gemara in the footnote with a few ha'aris about it. You know, the whole idea of kindness is a very subtle and delicate thing. The problem with the kindness is that it's sometimes a cheap shot. What I mean to say is that people who sit with kindness, they're trying to accomplish something. And sometimes the kindness turns into the tachlis when it's only supposed to be a tool to reach, of course, what? Tshuva and Maisim Tovim. And when the tainus becomes the end unto itself, it actually undermines the effort, because a person is literally going in the wrong direction. because it becomes a substitute for what you have to do. And since that could never be a substitute for tshuva, then the tainus serves actually, in a certain sense, to be an obstacle to tshuva. It's a very delicate thing, the tainus, because sometimes you can confuse the approach to something for the thing itself. And that is, would be a disaster. So that's what it says over here. Basically, it's a whole shtickle Gemara like that. And that's what the Gemara says, and af yad alef amid beis, bar be rab de yosef betaniso lechul kal b'lisheruse. Why? Because a bar be rab, a person who's learning in yeshiva, needs all of his faculties, and he has to have his mind is sharp, and he has to be able to work hard, and it's a tremendous avoida, amelim bat Torah. And without amelus, there cannot be Torah. How can you be a normal bat Torah if you're fasting constantly, your body becomes weak, and you fall apart? So adarabah, the attempt of fasting for a Talmud Chacham, a Tzubim Rabbanon, is actually a natsas hayetzah. Because the Yetzirah wants everything, anything. Do all the mitzvahs in the world. Abinish tzalem. Abinish tzalem. Because he knows that once that happens, everything else falls apart in any case. So that's what it says over here, that the Bar Be Rav Yosef Tanisa, Leichol Kabel Shurusa, let the dog eat his meal. Right? And the Kaft of Aferach that I quote over here explains it. V'hatam, she'ein ha-mitztayer yochol l'chavin shmu'osa v'lo'lamar al-tarosai. V'kol shkein ha-ish ha-roeh. V'k'tamrinim b'perek ha-shutfim sh'rotzu. Amar Avdimi, the min-cheifa, koidim she'yoyechol adam v'yishtay yeshloi kamal avobais. V'achar shokh v'shosa ein lo'el alev echot sh'nema v'ish novu v'ilavei. So that's what it is. So the Kaft of Aferach makes this point. He gives this explanation of why it's such a negative thing. Now, for Shteitzach, in the right context and for the right reasons, great tzaddikim and great chassidim are fasting constantly. A very beautiful maisa, but one of the Rashi Yeshiva, an edim of mine when he was a bacher, was learning in Eretz Yisrael. So his uncle was a brother-in-law of Rabbeinu Shvinkel. So he went to Rabbeinu Shvinkel's house for a su'udah, for a meal, during the week. And Rabbeinu Shvinkel brings him himself the food, and he sits him down. And my Adam was a youngster, and he's waiting for Rabbeinu Shvinkel to eat also. And Rabbeinu Shvinkel is not eating. So he's not eating. So Rabbeinu Shvinkel sees that he's not eating. He says, "Excuse me a minute." He leaves, he comes back about 10 minutes later, and then he eats. So what happened? What was this all about? So he said later, he said, he was fasting Mondays and Thursdays. But that gezen, as al-esnisht, g'dol ha-achnos ha-sorkim me-kabol ha-spnei ha-shchino, he went to be matin neder, and he came back at the end. And maybe they came back soon. So this is... Anyhow, that's the story of Tainus. So Bekitzer, he's just using this phrase, Rav Haigoy. Leichol kalbul shirusei, but he's being—it's a way of expressing his dissatisfaction with this fellow who decided to give away the schar of his tainus. He says it's ridiculous. Umas schar yesh loy oid etzel hakadosh baruch hu ukvar natal domim v'karavu lekabel peronis milkabel schar ki osu shem shemayim plaster v'kakardim lechol b'lechem. He says that this person sold the schar that he had. He made a business out of it. So he says that, what kind of business can it be? He's not a bailim over it. And he says, and the whole tainus is anyhow down the drain, because how does that Kadosh Baruch Hu look at such a person after he did this anyhow? So, obviously, the Rav Haigoin is totally negative about this.
What's the schar of the tainus exactly? What kind of schar is that? And what? The...
When a person is betainus?
Yeah.
A person betainus... It's the transformation that happens to the person while he's fasting, not so much the fasting itself. When there is a chiyuv tainus, then you mekayim a deraisa and Yom Kippur and Rabbanon, the dalet taniyos, then you mekayim a mitzvah. In this particular case, it's a dover toiv, a dover hogun, if it has the kavona ritzuya. Again, as you said, but you see, somebody who sells the schar, he's not denying that there's a schar for the tainus. He's just saying, whatever that schar is, you can't sell it. Well, there is no... He's saying that there is no mechanism because it's not yours. But we'll soon see. Not everybody agrees with Rav Haigoin. That's what he says. So Bekitzer, Rav Haigoin says further, Mi shenosan schar lemelamed kedai lilmod Torah. He says, don't confuse apples and oranges. This is something else than someone who pays a melamed, or who supports Torah by giving money to a tzaddik or to a talmid chacham or whatever, so that he can continue learning. He says that is someone. V'chein hamachil oni yochacham kedei levarachoy. V'chein hamisayid va'ozer la'ose mitzvahs kedei shiyuchlu l'kaimon. Yesh schar lo'i v'lohem. U'b'yoseh misha ozer la'oskem b'tayra shiyelhem libam poni la'asik bo. Yesh lo'i schar. V'aschar sheyesh lo'i al pu'ulosoy hu. The lashon of Rav Haigoin. The schar sheyesh lo'i al pu'ulosoy hu. In other words, the Rav Haigoin says there's no such thing as transferring schar. Wherever you will see schar, it's because that person did the mitzvah. And for the mitzvah, he got schar. And he can't give that schar away to anybody else. So how is it that I get schar for your learning? The Torah says, not because you gave me your schar. You learned, and you gave me your schar as a matana in exchange for my money. That would never work. So what's the pshat? Because supporting Torah is a mitzvah. And for the mitzvah of supporting Torah, the person who gives the support gets schar. I give tzedakah. The ani benefits. What's the benefit to the ani? He lives another day. So it's a tremendous benefit to the ani. But besides the benefit to the ani, I am doing a mitzvah. It's not that the ani is giving me his schar. The ani is not giving me any schar. I'm getting schar from the Ribbon Shalom directly for performing the mitzvah of tzedakah. So now that I give money to a Talmud Chacham and he's learning, again, it's not that the schar of the learning is going to be transferred to me. There's no such thing, says Rav Haigoin. So why do I get schar? And I do. I get tremendous schar. I get schar for the mitzvah of supporting Torah. Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim bo.
But you get the schar of tzedakah or you get the schar of Torah?
No, you don't get the schar of his Torah according to Rav Haigoin. You get the schar of supporting Torah.
Why don't you even according to Rav Haigoin, when you get the schar of Torah?
What do you mean by schar ha-Torah? That's what it means.
You help a Talmud Chacham, right?
Helping a Talmud Chacham.
So you shouldn't just get the tzedakah, because tzedakah is not so chashuv as Torah, right? So why can't you just, not his, but you amass the Torah?
No, it's something in between. Hachzakas ha-Torah is an end unto itself, but it has nothing to do with the schar of his limud ha-Torah. In other words, Reuven did a mitzvah. How you touch up exactly the mitzvah that he did is not so important. Whether it's a mitzvah stuck of alma, what happens if the Talmud Chacham is poor? He's no less of an ani because he's a Talmud Chacham, and if he needs the money, he needs the money. So definitely it's a mitzvah tzedakah. Is it more than a regular mitzvah tzedakah? The answer is yes, because there's a mitzvah of supporting Torah besides the mitzvah tzedakah. So it's a form of habotzas Torah. It's definitely, there's no question about it. Ultimately, it's a form of tzedakah and gemilas chasodim, but it's an enhanced form of tzedakah and gemilas chasodim, because tmichas Torah is ribui ha-Torah. But ribui ha-Torah is your mitzvah, because you are marba Torah. In the same way that if you would print up Sfarim and disseminate them. So what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is that I was Marbitz Torah. So if you help a person learn, you're also Marbitz Torah in that way. So it's a little more, it's different than just a plain mitzvah tzedakah. But just the same, whatever it is and exactly how you define what your mitzvah was, the schar that you'll get by Shamayim is for performing a mitzvah. Now, what about the Chacham? He's a beneficiary, as far as Rav Haigoin is concerned. Nothing more. Otherwise, there's nothing that goes from the Chacham to you because you supported him. So he doesn't recognize here Yisachar and Zvulun at all. He interprets Shimon Achiazari and all those Gemaras in Saita and elsewhere in the Rishonim and in the Achronim, whatever it is that we find. His look on this, his cook, is it's all because you did a mitzvah, and for that mitzvah you get schar. Okay.
It's a prayer. It's a Torah. The Torah says it's something. It's not the Haigoin that says it. The Torah says.
The Torah says.
It's in the Brachos.
The Torah says that Yisachar is supported by Zvulun, and for that support he gets Schar. They are shutfin. They are shutfin. They are shutfin, but it doesn't say anywhere beferish that Yisachar and Zvulun share in the schar of Yisachar's Torah. Does not. And that's what exactly he's saying over here. And that's the Gemara that he quotes of Shimon Achi Azariah. As I said last time, Bo'avo is with a komatz. Everyone knows that with a komatz it's like a hey ayidia, a specific avo. It means there's an ava that the pasuk has in mind that's spitz ava, that's the ultimate ava. So what is that ava? Ba'ava sha'av. Who? So that's the Gemara says, like Shimon Achi Azariah, not like Rabbi Yochanan, that's not Rabbi Yochanan, our Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan de Benesia, that look at Hilu B'Shevna. So the Gemara says, so in sight that Av Chof Aleph Amad Aleph, Ki Yosef Avdimi Omar Hilu B'Shevna Achi Havu, they were brothers of they were brothers of each other. I mean, they were brothers. Hillel was learning, and Shevna of Ariska, l'saif amaleitan ma'aroi v'lifleik. Yotzis abasko v'amr mitinishes kolheim beisei v'ahavu. So he will have to learn that Gemara however he learns the Gemara, which is not the way that others learn the Gemara, that there's actually a shutfus, like you said, and that shutfus divides the schar evenly, so that you actually have Yenim Schar HaTorah because you supported Yenim's Torah. So we'll see. This is what, of course, what's the agenda that's coming up. So now, he quotes a Sefer Shema Yanka from Rav Yanka Valgazi. And he says that when Rav Haigon said, V'aschar sheyeshloi alpulosai hu, so he makes a conclusion of Rav Haigon's opinion, which Rav Avadya Yosef says is not muchach. This is what it is. Shmamina shahamachzik biyad amelei Torah einoi noitel chelek kechelek im ha'amelim ba'Torah. Right? So he comes to the conclusion that basically I was pushing. That Rav Haigon's opinion is that when you have a supporter of Torah and a loimed ha'Torah, the supporter of Torah does not get the schar as a partner in the limud haTorah. He gets the schar only al pulasahu of the fact that he did a mitzvah, and the mitzvah in this particular case happens to be supporting Torah. Right? Now he wants to bring a raya to Rav Haigon's position, and he says, look what the Gemara Brachas says. All of the nevuos of rewards that are possible that the Nevi'im mentioned, that's only for a person who supports Torah. The person who learns Torah, there's no way to describe the ultimate schar and reward that he's going to get. Pragmatia, you know. It's the English word pragmatism, and pragmatics comes from the same Shirish, pragmatia, the Greek word. Only the Ebishter knows what kind of a reward he's going to get. Right? So he says, So he quotes the Psukim in Mishlei, which you've had in the past. Kitoiv Sacho Mikol Schoila, Yekoreh Mipninim. Mikoyin Gadol says the Gemara, Nichnas Lefnayv Lefnim. But Yekoreh Mipninim Kipshutai, it's worth more than all the money in the world. What does that mean? So he says that what it means to say is that even though we know that there's this support system where people supporting Torah allow the Torah to happen, don't have a havamina that the supporter and the one who's learning Torah are chaylik shava b'shava, and in the end is a net result of 50-50. Because it's not so, the person who learns Torah gets much more, and that's what the psukim subsequently in Mishlei are trying to say, that yikara hi mipninin. So even though kitov sachar mikol schayra, even though actually adam matzo chachma and yafik tevuna, what does the word yafik mean? Yafik is poil yaitse, it's a hifil. He creates someone who's to learn, he brings the learning possible, meaning the supporter of Torah. So we think that it's the same. It says Ashrei Matzo Chachma, Ashrei Yafik Tuna. So they said, no, they're not the same. They're both Ashrei, but they're not the same Ashrei. Because one of them is learning Torah, and Torah is Toiv Schachra, Mikol Schachra, and Yukara Himikin. So Bekitzer, his bottom line is that according to Rav Hai Gaon, there is no sharing of schar. It's simply the schar al pu'ulah sohu that he gets for supporting Torah, and that schar, the Gemara in Bracha says, is not the same as what?
As the
schar for learning. And that's what it says. Ayin lo yirasa elikim zula sefer.
He wouldn't be learning. He wouldn't be supporting. He wouldn't be learning.
100%. That's 100% true. And all that you say is a mile in supporting. It's 100% true that if Chaim Yankel wouldn't be supporting, then Shmerul Beryl wouldn't be sitting and learning. But just the same, it does not mean that the schar that Shmerul Beryl gets in learning is accomplished by dividing it 50-50, that Chaim Yankel also gets half of that Ayin Lo Yirasa. That's what he says. That's his opinion. I wanted to just add something very interesting. There's a medrash that says that when they were sitting in the Midbar, when they were dwelling in the Midbar, I mean around the Mishkan, Saviv la Mishkan Yachanu, yes? So you know the Leviim were one circle, there were concentric circles around the Mishkan, the Machne Leviya, and then there was Klal Yisrael. And the Klal Yisrael is divided into four camps with four Degalim, and there was Machne Ruvein, and so on and so forth. So the Medrash points out that the closest to Moshe Rabbeinu in the dwelling of the different Shvatim were the three Shvatim of Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvul. And the Medrash says that therefore they became great B'nai Torah. Very interesting. Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvul. How do you know? So they quote Tzukim. You know, Yehuda, Yechalkiki, Mibnei Yisachar, Yoyde Bino Lo'itim, and Zvulun Moshchim B'Shevet Sofer. Pasuk in Shira Zvayr. So I was thinking to myself, wait a minute. Zvulun is the supporter of Torah, or they're learning Torah? So the emission is that in the Midbar there wasn't much need for supporting Torah. Everybody had. So what was Zvulun doing? So the hashpa of Zvulun was to sit in Kailah. The hashpah that Moshe Rabbeinu's proximity had upon Zvulun was the same as upon Yisachar and upon Yehuda. Shpeta, when he went out into the world, Zvulun l'chayf yamim yishkoim, so he retained that hergish, and he became the great supporter of Torah. So the Zvulun b'tzei secha, where is he coming out of that he's yoytze? The answer is he's coming out of the cradle of the Mishkan. And that experience of being close to Moshe Rabbeinu in the actual Limud HaTorah. And it's a very remarkable thing. There are very few Gvirim who have no sense of what Torah is all about that have the capacity to support Torah. There are occasional Yotzin Min HaKlal, for whatever reason. A Gedenkta Molas Adgata Zeidem Et Alangen Bod, or something like that. But Bederech Klal, if you don't have, it's very hard to have a Hasag of what Torah is. It's very hard. I mean, everybody will say it's too much. It's not practical. It's this. It's that. It's not realistic. And what's going to be? And bankvetcher. And on and on and on. That is the natural instinct of a person. The pragmatic sense is not to do pragmatia for a Talmud Chacham, because you don't have any pragmatic sense of what a Talmud Chacham is all about. You think it's a weird bria. You know, you want to engage in a hobby. Those mill up. What does it have to do with me? You have a hobby, this one has a hobby, that one has a hobby. Indulge yourself, but pay for it on your own. have a hasaga to be taimich Torah, you have to have a hasaga of Torah. So how does anybody have a hasaga of Torah? The Torah says you're an orphan. So this was the makar, the cradle of Zvulun's ability to be smart Zvulun b'tzei sechel. Anyhow, that is the opinion of the Rav Haigon, especially as is interpreted by the Mariel Gazd. Says Rav Avadya Yosef, "Upirusha hu neged mashomer amafarshim anal kimona shel kodesh kaful haya." That's the Orach Chaim HaKadosh that I told you about that he's quoting. The mona was kaful. What's the pshat? They're called echad mehem lekeach schar sholim laatzmon. So he says, "What about Rav Haigon? Maybe he disagrees with this opinion." I mean, Orach Chaim HaKadosh can say whatever he says, but Rav Haigon says, "No, I don't think so. I don't think that Rav Haigon's statement that the schar is al pulaso who in any way contradicts the Yisachar and Zvulun arrangement where you get machzis schar for limud haTorah. Why?" So he says, "Masha Omer Rav Haigon shaschar al pulaso baloimar shlo yinuke mischar chacham klal elu hu choylik schar laatzmei misholei v'chein chacham mekabel scholei misholei." Etc. etc. So he says two things here that we have to dwell upon. Number one, that Rav Haigon did not mean to say that the schar of Limud HaTorah, that the Loimud HaTorah gets, is not divisible, and that it has nothing to do, as we interpreted, with the Noisein, but the Noisein gets only al schar pulosohu. So b'mechilas kvoidoi, if I had to take sides, I would take sides with the Mariel Gazi. I think that is what he's saying. Number one. Number two, the next point, though, he makes a very big yisoid, which is mentioned in a number of svarim. What does the Yisachar and Zvulun mean? What does it mean? What's the case? What's the story of Yisachar and Zvulun? So we have this idea. I have miser money, so I have $10,000 over the year to give out. Fine. So I take the $10,000 and I divide it amongst 10 Talmidei Chachamim in Yerushalayim that I know are sitting and learning. Everyone understands, obviously by definition, that for $1,000 a year, there's nobody that could survive the clock. So, you have 10 Talmidei Chachamim, they just got each one only $1,000 from me. So the Teretz is, they have other sources if they're not working themselves. There are other sources. Either the wife is working, or they get a kola check from somewhere, or they work on gemachs, or whatever it is. But the bottom line is, they are not getting their support to survive from me. So what is that $1,000 to the Talmud Chacham going to accomplish? So he says, that is not Yisachar and Zvulun. And that's what the Gemara was talking about. That's the beauty of this knesh. He says, the Gemara is Taka Gvaldik Kakasha. How could you say that they share when the Gemara says Beferush that the Loimid HaTorah is Ayin Loi Rasa? We don't even imagine what the Schar could be. But the supporters of Torah, that's what the Nevi'im were talking about when they described all of the beautiful matonis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow. So you see Beferush, that the person is not sharing 50-50 with the Talmud Chacham because he supported him. So he says, no. If it's mamish that my support is making your learning possible, I have an exclusive, so to speak, and if it wouldn't be for me, you would not be able to learn because I am giving you the support to be able to make that happen, then it's taka 50-50. Because that's the Yisachar and Zvulun, and that's what you said before. It says, V'ach Zvulun Mitzay Secha V'Yisachar Bo'alecha. But if I give $1,000 to the fellow a year, and he has support from all kinds of other sources, and it's not possible to manage just with $1,000 that I gave, is what I'm doing nothing? But it's gevaldik. It's a tremendous inyan, and it's a beautiful thing. But there, the schar is not shared, even the $1,000 worth, with the schar of limud haTorah. It is only al pulosayhu.
Even if Rav Haigon?
No, I want to say to Rav Haigon, says that even 50-50, even if my full support, it doesn't work like that. But he doesn't discuss Yisachar and Zvulun, Rav Haigon, doesn't discuss that phrase. He just says what he says, but you know, don't forget that he started with Tainus. You know, he started with Tainus. But he says that if you support Torah, you get the schar for supporting Torah. But you don't get the schar of the person. Yeah. But I want to add something else. One second. Well, there's one more thing that's very important to add in all of this discussion. There's a tremendous difference between something that the Ribbono Shel Olam promises and my attempt to make a transaction outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise altogether. In other words, I could easily say that Enochanami, I am never a bailim on schar. There's no such thing as giving away my schar. When you have Yisachar and Zvulun, it's not that Zvulun gets his schar from Yisachar. It's not like, even when they make a contract, the contract isn't saying what I'm giving you. The contract basically works like this. I am engaging myself now in a promise to support you fully so that you should be able to sit and learn Torah undisturbed. That's the contract, my obligation to you. What about in reverse? I would say that the other person says, I accept. That's all. What do I mean? Normally when there's a merger or there's a shutfus, each one obligates himself in something. But the Talmud Chacham is obligating himself in what? This is what I want to know. Is he obligating himself to learn? Okay, but he was learning to begin with, and that's his life. That's the given. That's what I'm buying. Is he obligating to give half of his schar of Torah to Zvulun? Definitely not. He's not a bailim on that either. He's no more of a bailim on his schar of Torah than the other fellow's a bailim on his schar for the times. I'm not giving away my schar. And furthermore, when you give away schar, you don't have it anymore. What about the Talmud Chacham? He loses half of his schar because he had a Yisachar Zvulun situation? That's a very big question. We have to get to that. But Pashas, I would say definitely not. That he retains his. So how does Zvulun get the schar of Limud HaTorah? The Teretz is because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing. The mechanism, in other words, working above, is manipulating independent of my commitments as a Talmud Chacham to Zvulun. I can't give Zvulun anything because I'm not a bailim on the schar just because I learned. I'm a bailim on the Torah more than I'm a bailim on the schar. Torah sedilehu, but I'm not a bailim on the schar of Limud HaTorah. Why should the schar of Limud HaTorah be any different than the schar of any other mitzvah, which I'm not a bailim over? And on that, I don't think anybody would disagree that that's the opinion of Rav Haigon. He says it befeirish. You're not a bailim on schar. It's not, but Yisachar and Zvulun could still happen, even according to Rav Haigon in theory. Why? Because there's a special concept called Yisachar and Zvulun, and that's only in Hatzakas HaTorah. And it is bidavka, and this is what he's saying here, Chacham Avadya, when your support is enough to sustain the Talmid Chacham's learning independent of any other source. So it would come out a very interesting thing. What would happen if 10 people got together and they all shutfim together to support a Talmid Chacham? People made a, what do they call that in business?
Consortium.
A consortium, yes. Yeah. They made a consortium. I mean, whether it is a consortium, technically, basically what a consortium is exactly. It sounds good. So they made a consortium, and they got together 10 people, and they were maskim. None of us ourselves can afford to support the Talmud Chacham with his 12 children, b'meluah. Fine. But together, we can do just fine. So you'll give 5,000, you'll give 5,000, together we'll put together $50,000, $50,000, they'll take care of the family for the year. So now I want to know what happens. Does he get each one a tenth of the schar of the Torah? Because the consortium sort of creates one big zvulun out of 10 different people. Or do we say no? Because I'm not the zvulun and he's not the zvulun and he's not the zvulun, and there's no way of adding it up to make a total of one that you should then divide the schar into 10. So that's an interesting shaila that comes up also many times. These are very, by the way, very much negei halacha lemaisa. And there are all kinds of nuances in the Yisachar Zvulun contracts. There are different kinds of contracts that I've seen. But Bezras Hashem, I'd like to get to some of it. But let us now just continue. Yeah.
Tyre mentioned 2 points, and I'm not sure where the Rebbe went with them. The Rebbe mentioned 50-50, and the Rebbe said full support. Was that mutually exclusive?
No, 50, full support for the food. And the question is, what does he get in exchange?
Right, but the mentioned that might have not been again, that they're 50-50 shuvim. They could have decided when they're 12, okay, you're going to be the guy who learns, and you're, you know, they're twins, and you're gonna, and I'm going to go work, and we split total. So profits, losses, they're 50-50. Maybe not in the third, but maybe in the money.
That's an interesting question, too. You raised a very interesting question. This shutfus that we're talking about in Yisachar and Zvulun, does it apply to the money of Zvulun as well? I didn't discuss that at all. But does that apply to Zvulun as well? Is it possible that the only time there's Yisachar and Zvulun is when there's a shutfus that goes across the board in both directions? Now, you give me half your Torah, but I have to give you half of my profits, whatever they are. In other words, let's say, what's the Nafkamina Lamosha? Let's say that to survive you need $50,000 for that family. I happen to be extremely successful as a Zvulun, and I make $1 million a year. Do I have to give you $500,000? To make the Zvulun happen, then I should get half of your schar. So these are why, we're just being meisif and meisif in this fascinating topic. But let's see, this very famous tshuva of the Netziv, which, of course, he mentions, the Chacham Avadia. Needless to say, if he knows the tshuvas of the most esoteric svarim, he's certainly not going to miss a tshuva that I know about. but Lamaisa, the Meshiv Dover, the Netziv, he has a very, very famous tshuva. It's famous because it's a topic that it wasn't so long ago, and it's a topic that's very Nogea. We'll continue doing this for another two sessions because it's not shaykh to do this chaplap. But let's just take a look as much as we can right now in the Meshiv Dover. Gimel Simin Yudal. Echad Laadam Gadol Me'achav Mocha Chatzis Chuyosav U'Mitzvoysav B'sach Gadol Eschim U'Shnayim Elef Rubel L'Ish Oshir Hoylech B'Tumay V'Chofetz B'Mitzvoysav Mi'oid. This is a play on the words, because Chofetz B'Mitzvoysav, he wants the other person's mitzvahs, Mi'oid. So very interesting, he's a businessman. Let me tell you something. A person pays $25 million for a Favorfina Rembrandt. Whatever. A Degas, a Chvesa, a Vincent van Gogh. The dimensions I've been out Glavna Meshuggah to begin with. Aber Lameisa, painting. So was hat er von them? Is willing to pay an amount of money that is beyond belief, and which none of us can even chalom about. So what is so hard to believe that a maimon should want a schar that Ayin Lo Ra saw for 12,000 ruble? It's a bargain of the century. I mean, excuse me, Esrim U'Shnayim Elef Ruble, 22,000 ruble. It's a bargain of the century. I mean, I would pay, if I had it, I would pay ₹1 billion for it. But that's what he wanted to do. He wanted his mitzvahs. Does it say his Torah specifically? No, not yet. V'kibel ha-moicher machtzis ha-kesef v'ad sheshili machtzis ha-sheni. He got already half the money. But before he got the rest of it, he went to Iska Chochem Gadol. Halach l'chochem Gadol b'shal b'chaloyim v'heishiv aloi ki oisai ha-moicher enoi mitzliin l'mala kol kach. Soichrim, who are very successful, usually do their research. They do their research. They don't stop give away money. I guess he got caught excited, and he gave away half the money. But before he gave the other half of the money, he decided, you know what? Let me find out what this person that I'm supporting is really all about. And he found out that it's nishto ayayay. The whole thing is I wouldn't use the word mekaktos, but it deflated the balloon terribly. He's just an average fellow. It's a very interesting din Torah. The moicher says, you promised me 22,000 ruble, you only gave me 11. And the other one says, give me back my 11 that I gave you already. You're nothing. You're a nobody. You're not, you know, you're... So you see how he formulates right away the question in the last two phrases. First of all, who's right? And secondly, wait a minute, who says anybody's right? Maybe the whole idea is Dvarim B'Talim B'Talim. That's the last line. The gam im ika hakinyan hu dova sheyesh boi mamish. Eish is dova. Ha-moicha hera ladaz ki eino yodam hogum b'michoi s'cha ruchni b'betz ha-kesef. Sounds very much right, like Rav Haigon. He says, what kind of a person sells mitzvahs for money? K'midose shal eisav shemochas ha-bechayre shalai. U-bizo eisav ha-kosef. Right? Ha-yivez eisav es ha-bechayre. V'loi shemi... Listen to what he says. B'loy mishum shemachar b'mechir nezid adashim. Sha'arei pirush rashbam shemachaloi b'kesef shavyoi. Ela shekiyim akinyan b'maychal adashim. U'mikol mokoyim, right, kora oysa hakosuv ayives. The mish is a very important point to make, by the way. It says, v'ayoychol v'ayesh, v'ayokom v'ayelach, v'ayives eisav es habuchayim. So the question is, what is the indication of, what is the bizayim? So he says, you sell the Bechayra for Nezid Adashim, of course that's the biggest bizayin in the world. He says, that's not the case. Because he didn't sell it for the Nezid Adashim. Like you say, it was a down payment. It's like the Pruta Kesef that makes the Kinyan, when actually the amount of the Karka that you bought was $100,000 and you pay in full eventually. So he paid for the Bechayra.
Right.
Doesn't say. But he paid for the Bechayra. But what is the bizayin if that's the case? That you sold the Bechayra. That's the bizarre, that you sold it for money. The Yochav Ayesh, Ela Shekiyim Akinyim B'Maychal Adashim, Komukom Gosov Ayivez, Demi, Shedai Te Yofil Maskel Adova Maven Ke'en L'Ruchni Erech Klau Limkor B'Chol Oin Sheba Oilam, Mikol Shkein Likach Betzah Kesef Avru Chelik Oilam Abo. Vare B'tayin Isisa Reb Chanina Ben Doisa, right? Onya Agodol Nosnu Lo Yeh Zadova Mechal Kev Oilam Abo Shvi Yishtadu Lahavzir. Famous story that he found that he was a table, everybody else's table is with four legs, and his table is missing a leg, and of course she told him to give it back, and he gave it back, and it was kosher to give back more than it was able to receive. But Reb Chanina Ben Doisa, he says, what do you see that? It's the Chapash Tezach. How can you sell something that's Ein Areich for any money in the world? It's such a terrible bargain. And then he said, "Shmuel, Rabbi Yisrael Bezeki, Risha Eisus Chanina Bedoisal Zaharbe." That she made a big tumult, and he had to give it back. You see one thing very interesting: that Reb Chanina Bedoisal, the Gusta Tzaddik in the belt, the whole world is Nizam Bishul Chanina Bni, and nevertheless his wife is giving him the right Eitzes. No. I'm very, very serious about this. It's an unbelievable insight. That's all in the Gedder of Adam Korav Eitzel Atzmai, and that's really the Taitch of Eizah Kenegdai. He said, no matter what, in the end, you're buying Hanoa b'olam hazeh with the money. He says, let's say a king gave you a medal of honor. The medal of honor has gold in it. The gold is worth $500. So in a moment of need, he decides that he's going to sell the medal and get the money. The king finds out about it. He's very upset. He said, how can you give away something that I gave you as a sign of respect and kavod, which has so much spiritual, you know, so much emotional and spiritual content, and you're selling it as if it's a bar of gold that you found in the street. So he says the melech certainly going to be angry. Biza b'zeh kved ha-melech v'roi lo'oynish. Kach ha-moicha oynig ruchni shal olam abo avu tainu gashmi olav akosav tzavach b'sefer b'midvar b'shor sham is oyninim. He doesn't let go, the netziv. B'shor sham is oyninim b'kshu basar v'zochrus ha-tainu shoylem b'mitzrayim b'gashmiyus. V'le yagishu b'oynig ruchni shoylem b'midvar b'gili ha-shchina. V'amah Hashem ad ha-she yetze me'abkem oylechem l'zora yan ki ma'asnim es Hashem asher b'kir b'chem. Vatifku lefon of lemer lomazen yatzon Mitzrayim. Mashmoy shema'astem oynig haruchni b'masha Hashem b'kir b'chem b'yoyschem b'amidbar. Masher rechoykim hayu mizeh b'mitzrayim. V'atem oymrim lomazen yatzonu b'mitzrayim. The taina is, how can you hark back to a world and to an environment completely bereft of Hashpa'as Hashem and Hashra'as Hashchina, when now you know what the Shechina is all about, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bekir Bechem? So he says, that's the Gesta Bizayin of the Melech. He's talking about the story of the Shaila, that he got, of the Din Torah. Umachri ba'ayna gashmi bebetza kesef vaday roi loinish ve'ein bay midah shel adam hamayla. Ah, yes, what happened to Gemara and Saita of Shimon Achi Azariah, like Shimon Achi Azariah, v'chulu v'chulu, ela kehilu v'shevna. So he says, Shani Hossam Shemachre Kedei Sheyiyu Yecholim Lasek Batayra. He says that the story apparently that happened here was that he was able to manage, but he wanted more money. And he doesn't have anything to sell. He doesn't have a painting from Van Gogh or Stradivarius violin. So what does he sell instead? He sells his chaylik and Olam Abba. That's what he sells. He says, but here we're talking about support of Torah. In other words, what he's saying here is that Melchamta Shel Torah is so delightful to them, and they are so close through that to the Ribbono Shel Olam that they're willing to give up schar even in Olam Haba, because there's something even higher than that. So this is the difference. In the story that he was presented in the Sheil and the Din Torah, he wants to give up Olam Haba for Shtus and Hevel, for money. More money by Olam Hazeh. In the case of Hillel and Shevna, he wants to give up Olam Haba for Limud HaTorah. That's already not only an acceptable trade-off, but actually shows a tremendous Ahavas HaTorah.
Like the
So I want to tell you something. There's a masaira about that song. Where does it come from? Olam Haba is Agut Ezach. You know that song? We sing it 500 times on Simchas Torah. So where does it come from? So there's a masaira that it comes from the Chaim Balozhin after the going was Nifta. When the going was Nifta, everybody was very depressed. Hang Kleinikait, to lose the grub. So he said, Olam Haba is Agut Ezach. I mean, you know, we're taka losing him, but he is now Nana Miziv Ashchina. Then he said, I don't want you to make the mistake that what I'm saying is that Olam Haba is Agut Ezach, and that's the ultimate, because Leon and Taylor here on earth is Abes Ozach. Aber von deswegen Olam Haba is Agut Ezach. It's like, you have to know that it's time to go. He's going to a good place. Abba calls man, you're here. Leon and Taylor is Abesozah. So that's really evaluation. Exactly correct. That's exactly what he's saying. And of course, this is the same cheder. He was, the whole yeshiva, everything. His valojin. Abel Hillel. Hoyosh kidosa kolkach, atchla hoyo. Right? He says the unbelievable Maila, and here is the typical classical way that the Nitziv approaches something. It's a pattern almost. There's a certain insight that he has. He says like this: what is the Gemara really trying to, and then we'll stop. What is the Gemara really trying to say here? That in Yitain Ishes Kol Hoin Beisei Ba'av or Boizya Vuzuloi. Not like Shimon Achi Azariah, where there's a Yisachar Zvulun kind of connection between the two brothers, but like Hillel and Shevna. So what's more Hillel than and Shevna? So he says that if you're asking about Hillel, what does it take for him to remain in Limud HaTorah? So the answer is, you can support him as much as you want, but you know that if all of that support would come to an end, and he proved it from before, that it would not in any way deter him from his learning Torah. And that's what he says. In spite of Onyoy HaGodo, and that's what the Gemara says in Daf Lamed Hey, Yomid Beis, in Yom Maseches Yuma, that Hillel is Mechayiv Aniyim, and tells the whole story of Hillel and the Maisa with the with the roof, the skylight on the roof that he covered, and he nearly died from the frost. So this concept of being willing to suffer the most abject poverty in the world, you know, very interesting. The Shema HaPesach took Bubkis. What do you think? I mean, he took... you're talking about a Shema HaPesach of a Beis Medrash. You're not talking about you know, a box ticket for the Super Bowl. Meretoch wegen ernste Sachen, you know. For Shtusim and Avolim, you can charge whatever you want. But for Torah Menachas, for Karen's others, how much already could the Shema HaPesach get? And any other, a bunch of schleppers. So how much could he get? And half of what he earned, he had to give to the Shema HaPesach. So imagine he earned next to nothing. So it comes out that the poverty was Neurevah. And this was it, an FLPK. And if he even doesn't have that, he climbs up on top of the roof to hit his shear. It's an unbelievable madrega of Nesias Nefesh for Torah. So he says, that's exactly what the Chiddush is. Im Yitain Ishes Kol Hon Beisei Bo'ava, the Ava that Hillel was willing that in spite of everything, he would continue learning no matter what. That's why he did not agree to accept from his brother, even though the brother offered. So what's his point? Where's the delicateness of his diyuk? He says like this. I just told you that there's a tremendous difference between a Yisachar Zvulun structure and selling Olam Haba for Olam Hazen money. So what is the Gemara talking about in Saita? So he says the Gemara is talking about a situation where without that money, you would not learn. So it comes out that what if you would learn anyhow? Because your commitment to learning is so vast. Is so total, is so extreme that no poverty in the world could stop you, then you can't take the money. According to his diyuk, that's how you understand. If the only had to take the money is because otherwise the Torah learning would stop, and that's more important than anything. So if I know that I can manage without it, then I can't take it anymore, because then I'm not trading A for more than A. I'm trading A for minus A. And that you cannot do. So that's why he refused. That's how he tightens up.
He learns better if he doesn't have to worry about where the rent's coming from. There's levels.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. For Namala mentioned, I imagine that's absolutely true. There's something about that kind of commitment that doesn't see the chiluk between poverty and having, between daigus and not having daigus, that we don't know what, we don't even understand. We're not on that madrega.
Doesn't need the money already. Let's get the money of Vienna and Sky.
No, according to the Tziv Yenna won't, because I can't give away my schar unless I have one reason only.
But we learned that it's not his schar.
No, that's not the point. The point is, whatever's going on, he is asking later. We'll discuss Bezus Hashem, the Yom Revi, the Shabbos. We'll discuss the question of, is this whole mischar a mischar? Is it technically capable of making the transfer of? But he's not up to that yet. He's asking now, are you a scoundrel or are you a tzaddik? So he says the measure of it is very simple. Are you going up or are you going down in your transfer? If you're going up, you're a tzaddik. If you're going down, you're not a tzaddik. You're a scoundrel. So he says, I have mitzvahs that are giving me schar, and I want it. We're not asking now if it works. It's the attitude that we're asking about. I want to give over that schar to somebody else for what? For what amounts to, in the end, that nezir adashim that he's talking about. The way we use it in the colloquium. For bread and butter here in this world. So that, he says, is a travesty. Why is it a travesty? Because you are proving that you have no respect for the value of what you have. Because how could you give away a $1 billion item for $100,000? No normal businessman would ever do anything remotely absurd as that. So why did you do it? The Torah says, because you don't see the billion. That's the chesaron. But when a person says, without this deal, I'm not going to learn, because I can't. Like you said, I don't have Yishuvat Das. Some people have worse than Yishuvat Das. I can't manage. I'm running around the whole day. I don't have time to learn. So go tell him, you're mechuyev to have the commitment that no matter what happens to you, you have to be like Hillel. There's one Hillel. I think Gemara says Hillel mechayev aniyim, so that's a different story. It's not for right now to discuss that question. But he's not mechayev them on his level, and they don't have his commitment, and they don't have his mind. You have to understand what that Gemara means. But the bottom line is that when Hillel is able to manage without it, he falls into the second category of someone who's exchanging $1 billion for $100,000. But if he's not able to manage, then he's exchanging $1 billion for $10 billion. Because even though he's going to give up, or he wants to give up his schar in Olam Haba, but what he's getting is a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Limud HaTorah. So that's the binyan that the Nitziv is beginning to create for us over here, which Bezras Hashem we will continue next time.